back over here, all right? I'm sorry to do that to you, but I will forget. I have in the past, and so I just need some help with that. I want to meet with the choir, and Brother Jake, where's he at? Has he done gone outside to smoke? Meet with the choir and everybody after service, just for preparations for revival. Nothing big, nothing demanding, or any, well, it will be demanding. But anyhow, it'll be a blessing to you, I promise. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter number 32, all right? Second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. How many of y'all know this is my very favorite book? Amen. All right. And if you don't know that, you ain't been around here very long. I love the book of Exodus. And I love, there's so much in there that most people and most preachers don't even preach. And but I'm going to go to that tonight as we prepare our hearts and minds for revival. And how many of y'all know what revival is? Two people, three people. I got kids raising their hands, and I got adults that are like, I ain't raising my hand, man. How many of you know what revival is? What is revival? Somebody help me. Do what? A renewing of the saints. Yep, yep. I like that one. That's a good one. Anybody else? Don't all answer at one time. It's okay. I mean, it's all right. Just one at a time. A refocus. That's a good one. That's a good one. A reawakening. That's a good one. What is? Yes, ma'am. Listening to good preaching and singing, I like it. There ain't nothing wrong with that. What else? Anybody else? Oh, what now? Renewing your commitment to God. Man, that's beautiful. That's awesome. Anybody else? So what does it mean to revive? To bring back to life. And how many of you know that we really need that? Amen. Amen. Now, let's take a look at Exodus chapter number 32. If you know the book of Exodus, and if you don't, just listen up. But if you know the book of Exodus, you know that the book of Exodus is a picture of the believer. We're delivered. We were delivered by a deliverer, an interceder, if you will, that God sent to deliver us from captivity. That captivity was in Exodus' case in Egypt and to Pharaoh. Which in typology is the world and sin and Satan as a Pharaoh. And so the new believer, the Christian, we're delivered from that bondage as we sang about Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And we're delivered from that bondage of sin and that bondage to serve the world and to serve the ruler of the world, and this case, Pharaoh, and our case, Satan, and to now follow after our interceder. Everybody all right? We go through the book of Exodus. It's awesome. I mean, you have so much typology in the book of Exodus. It is amazing. You start off in the book of Exodus, you see the plagues. Many people miss this, but the 10 plagues were a contest. God was, he brought, the Pharaoh said this. He said, who is this God? Who is this Lord that I should obey him and let you go? And God said, challenge accepted. All right? And God, if you'll look in there and if you'll pay attention, because most preachers and most people miss all this, but each one of those plagues was God dealing with a deity or a little g god of the Egyptians. So what they were placing their faith into, God destroyed. And he said it over and over again, I'm going to do this so that they may know who I am. Okay? And so finally, when God takes the newborn, when the angel of death comes through, not the newborn, but the firstborn, when the angel of death comes through and the firstborn of all the land is killed, they cry out and they say, get out. Hey, contest over. You're the man. That's what they told God. You're the man. Get them out. Get them out. Y'all can go. Just leave. Just get out of here. Why? Because in the last contest, the 10th plague, God defeated every god. All right, little g, okay? And as far as they were concerned, all their gods protected their children. And God Almighty made sure they understood that he had power over all their gods. So we have, not only in all of that do we see the plagues, but we see the Passover lamb. In the book of Exodus, we see this lamb that is chosen out. He's kept for 4 days with the family. He's killed in the evening. His blood is shed, and the blood is applied to the doorpost. Right? And we see the Passover lamb, and that's a cool story and for a Sunday school class. Until you realize in typology that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Behold the Lamb of God that cometh and taketh away the sins of the world. Our Lamb. He was chosen. He was perfect. 4 days he presented himself as king in his triumphal entry. 4 days later, he was killed in the evening, just as the Passover lamb of Exodus chapter number 12. And so, man, so much typology. Then you get to Exodus chapter number 14 and we cross the Red Sea. Pretty important part of history. Matter of fact, it's throughout your Bible. It is constantly referenced to this crossing the Red Sea, coming into a new life. Coming into a new life with God now. And man, what a beautiful picture of what God can do. Is everybody with me? Now, I'm telling you all this, and I'm going through all the history of this, getting to where we're at, because all the people I'm fixing to read about, they not only, they weren't just like us in that we've read about it, they actually experienced it. They actually experienced God dealing with Pharaoh and the Egyptians through the plagues. They've actually seen God's hand on the Passover lamb. They actually seen God destroy all of their enemies in the crossing of the Red Sea. They seen God bring the walls of water up on each side and they pass through the Red Sea. They've seen all this. They've experienced it. Seen it firsthand. You get into Exodus chapter number 20 and God calls Moses up on the Mount Sinai and there's thunderings and lightnings and the fire falls from heaven and smoke covers the mountain and the mountain's trembling. And they've experienced all of this. And Moses comes down from the mountain and he says, hey, I got a book of the covenant. He writes out a book of the covenant. He reads it to the people and he said, this is what God said to me up on the mount. And the people said, all that you have said, all that God has said, we will obey. We will follow. I need somebody to help me. Remember when you first got saved? Said, preacher, just preach whatever. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever God tells me to do. I'm so thankful that he saved me. Now it's like, I know what the Bible says, but. Is everybody with me? Y'all stay with me. Stay with me. So they've seen all this. They've heard the voice of God. They've seen the thunderings of God. They've seen the power of God. God calls Moses back up on the mountain after he goes and reads to them the book of the covenant. God calls him back up there onto the mountain. He says, hey, when you come up here this time, I'm going to give you some tables of stone. But that wasn't all God was going to give him, as he gave him blueprints for a tabernacle. But the Bible tells us that Moses was on the mountain this time 40 days and 40 nights. I need somebody to help me. I mean, 40 days. What's 40 days? To a young person, 40 days is a long time. To somebody my age, that happens tomorrow. I need a witness. Come on, I need somebody to help me. 40 days is gone before you know it, right? I mean, how many of you thought that we'd be sitting here right now and it's in July? Didn't January just start? I'm lost. I thought January just started and here we are, we're already in July. 40 days does not seem like a long time. Unless you're waiting on vacation, I can attest to that. It's a long time. But anyhow, the 40 days doesn't seem like a long time. And yet, I want to read to you what's going on down in the camp. Now, I want you to get this. Please get this and understand this. They have seen all these things. They have committed to God, to obey God, and we're just 40 days. Everybody say that with me. 40 days from a commitment to God to obey all that God has said. We're 40 days from that. And this is what the Bible says. And when the people saw that Moses, I'm in verse number 1 of chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. I need somebody to read that with me one more time. And fashioned it with a graving tool. Why that's important is because later Aaron said, I just threw it in the fire and it come out. The Bible says he fashioned it with a graving tool after he made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. 40 days ago. 40 days ago. They had seen God. They had heard God. 40 days ago. 40 days ago. We'll do all that God tells us to do. And by the way, the book of the covenant, God gave them the very first 10 commandments. It just wasn't written in stone by God yet. Amen. That was being done up on the mountain in these 40 days. Moses read to them, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And they said, we will obey all they've said. And we ain't even 40 days. We ain't even 40 days. And not only are we building gods, not only are we fashioning gods out of gold, but the leader who was left to oversee the people, he's building altars. Amen. Oh, and it gets worse. He built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow, look at this, and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. 40 days. 40 days we have gone to, or we have gone from, we will obey whatever God says, to, Aaron, you need to make us a golden calf so that we can worship. Aaron makes a golden calf. They bring him out. When you go and you do a little search on that and study on that, it was actually a 3-year-old bull is what it was. And he brings it out and he shows it to them and he says, this be the gods, not Aaron. Bible says these people, they said this. So it was a group of people that got Aaron or instigated this whole process, and they bring him out, this golden calf, and said, I need y'all, can y'all hear how ridiculous this is? Amen. These be the gods that delivered you from Egypt. We're long past being delivered from Egypt. We've done crossed the Red Sea. We've done gone through a whole lot. We've done gone through 40 days and all this other stuff. And somebody makes a golden calf and said, this is who delivered us. He wasn't even alive when they got delivered. I need somebody to help. Y'all stay with me, all right? It's amazing to me how far we can go in such a short period of time. How far we can go Y'all, this ain't one of them shouter outers, all right? I need y'all to help me. All right? Brent's going to come in. He's going to shout and be the good guy, so I get to be the bad guy, all right? Y'all stay with me. We have to get ready for revival. 40 days from God will do whatever you ask us to do to who is this God that delivered us? Oh, this man-made golden calf. And I believe that as the children of Israel, as you and I read the book of Exodus and we go, man, these people were crazy. I believe God's sitting up there in heaven going, man, these people are crazy when he looks at us. Because as the children of Israel are a picture, they are a picture of us. And the truth is, if they can fall in such a short period of time, we can too. And for most of us, it's been a good bit longer than 40 days since we were totally surrendered to God and said, we'll do whatever you ask us to do. I'm having fun. This is fun. Y'all don't like it, but it's fun. What led to this downfall? How do we get there? And what do we do to get out of it? I didn't even have a good title for it, so I'm not even going to try to give you one. I'll just start and give you some points of things that I see here in Exodus chapter number 32. First, I notice their incredulousness. Yeah, write that down. All you note takers. Say, preacher, what does that even mean? It's their unbelief. Incredulousness. Their unbelief. I did that on purpose. Quit trying to write it down. Y'all don't know how to spell that good. I got people asking me how to spell four. All right? Stay with me. Their unbelief. These people, hey, listen, how soon do we fall into the trap of unbelief? Look at me. Y'all are still trying to spell incredulous. Somebody put it up on the screen, all right? Incredulousness. For the love, Michelle, I asked you, and you said that they'd be able to catch on, but they're not. These Lake Parkians don't get it. Some of y'all get that later. Their unbelief. How soon are you and I falling to the trap of unbelief? I need somebody to help me. Because if I was to ask you, do you believe in God, you'd say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, you'd make a declaration. You'd get up here and tell everybody, I believe in God. I've seen what he can do. Then why are we doing what we're doing? I need somebody to help me. Can I get a witness right here? We can fall into this entrapment of unbelief. Do you realize these people seen the 10 plagues? Once again, I'm reminding you, they seen the 10 plagues.
That's right.
They seen the angel of death come through. They seen that night. They experienced it. They may not have seen the angel of death, but they experienced the night. They remember the night that God proved who he was.
That's right.
They remember the night that they were stuck in between two mountains and the Red Sea. And the armies of Pharaoh was coming against them. And God told Moses to go out there and part the Red Sea. And they watched as God parted the Red Sea. And a million of them crossed over the Red Sea. They watched as God and the pillar, the cloud, come between them and the Egyptians as they went across. And then they watched God close the waters upon their enemies. They seen the miracles of God. They seen what God can do. They seen the thunderings on the mountain. They seen the lightnings. They heard the voice of God, the trumpet of God. They heard all these things, the mountain literally moving and trembling. And yet, in 40 days, they're like, eh, Moses ain't coming back. We do whatever we want to. How do we get that way? Through unbelief. I need somebody to help me. Through unbelief. It wasn't so uncommon in the disciples either. God had to ask them several times, oh, ye a little faith? There's a trap of unbelief that comes on every believer, and we act out as if God does not exist. We wouldn't proclaim it openly. We wouldn't declare it openly, but we live as though God doesn't exist. And we wonder why the blessings of God ain't on our life. We wonder why we're not experiencing revival in our life. It's because we're living as if God doesn't even exist. We're doing things that we never thought that we would do. We're doing things that just 40 days ago we said we would never do. Amen. I need somebody to help me tonight. I know it ain't fun, but it's the truth. I mean, the Bible says that these people, they went to an extreme in just 40 days. How bad is it amongst us? They've experienced more. They've seen more than you and I'll ever see. We've read more. We've heard more. We've read more, but they've seen it and still battle with unbelief. Their incredulousness, their unbelief. They didn't believe the testimony of God, although they had seen it. They didn't believe the words of God, even though they had heard them. They didn't believe the man of God, even though God had instructed them as to who he was. Oh, is everybody all right? Amen. So it led them to their iniquity. Number two, their iniquity. Their iniquity. These people got into a place where they said, let us make our own gods. Hey, we'll make our own gods. We don't really need that one anymore. He got us out of bondage, but there's other things that are a little more important. I need somebody to help me right here. And man, how many times have you and I made our own little gods? These people that used to come to church and they were all in the church. They were committed to church. They were doing all these things, but little G's got in the way. They went out searching for little G's because the one that delivered them, he wasn't big enough to keep them. Y'all got to hear me now. I noticed about the people, they became real comfortable disrespecting the man of God. I don't care what you think about me. You can get mad at me. It doesn't matter, all right? But when you look at Scripture, in verse number one, they said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, you wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for that Moses. You see what I'm saying? I mean, they'd already got to the point with Aaron. Moses? Who cares about Moses? They wouldn't be free if it wasn't for Moses. And by the way, in typology, he is an interceder, which means he is... In typology, our interceder is Christ. Is everybody all right? Our deliverer is Christ. And here Moses, they say, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. We want not what has become of him. They got real comfortable. I need somebody to help me. Got real comfortable disrespecting the man of God. That's in our churches today. Say, preacher, why are you saying all this? Because I can stand up here and preach and y'all look at me and then the only thing y'all get out of it is something stupid I say. Seriously. Somebody comes up to me and says something I didn't even mean to say, but you miss the whole point of being here because you have no respect for the man of God. All you think is that I'm just up here having fun. I need somebody. Is everybody all right? I am having fun, by the way, doing what God called me to do. But I'm doing it because I'm burdened for you. And I can appreciate that I said something wrong in front of 300 people, 200 people, 100 people, whatever you want to call it. I appreciate that I said something wrong that made it was funny and everything else for you, but if that's all you got out of the sermon, you missed the point in being here. And so we go on with our life because we've gotten comfortable disrespecting the man of God. Who cares if he preaches? Who cares if he has a good point? I'll move on. You ain't got to amen that. I'll move on. They became comfortable disrespecting God's leaders. They become discontent waiting on God's action. God didn't move on their timetable. Where's this man at? 40 days has gone by. Where's this at? Where's our blessing at? How many of you know we get real discontent waiting on God? I need somebody to help me. I'm the world's worst. Now, God, I'm going to need you to do this, and this is when I need it done. And when God doesn't do it, when we need it done, then we strike out to do it ourselves. It's our iniquity. That's what it is. Our unbelief leads us into iniquity. When God doesn't do things the way we want Him to do things, then we have to step out and do things on our own. They became, listen to this word, unrestrained concerning their behavior. The Bible says in verse number 6 that it says, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, to most people, we read that and say, that ain't no big deal. But if you go and you study that, what that exactly means is they were eating and they were drinking to drunkenness. And they rose up to play was immoral sexuality. That's how far they went in 40 days. In 40 days, I need somebody to hear me. In 40 days, that rose up to play, it isn't that they rose up to go outside and play a game of badminton. It's literal immoral sex. This is how far they went. Unrestrained in their actions, worshiping, bringing sacrifice to a golden image, and saying, this is who delivered us from Egypt, when it wasn't even in existence when they were delivered from Egypt. My point is that this unrestrained behavior, even Moses speaks on it. He says in verse number 25 of Exodus 32, and when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. That doesn't mean what you think is naked. Naked in this context and in this particular verse means that they were unrestrained. That means they were doing whatever they wanted. They didn't care who seen it. They were, come on, y'all, acting like heathen. Yeah, unrestrained. When our unbelief, when we get to a place of unbelief, it leads to iniquity. And the farther we get in iniquity, does everybody see this? 40 days, they had done gone to extremes. So they had some instructions. Their incredulousness, number one. Their iniquity, number two. Number three, their instructions. In verse number 26, the Bible says, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man, his brother, every man, his companion, and every man, his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that ye may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Now stay with me, because I don't want any of y'all going and killing nobody. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Once again, we're going to deal with some typology here, and I want you to understand there was some instructions that was given. Number one, there was a decision that had to be made. Go back up to verse number 26, if you will, Miss Carrie. And verse number 26, this is what Moses said. Who is on the Lord's side? I need somebody to help me right here. I don't care where you're at in this scenario. I don't care if you're 10 days away, 20 days away, 30 days away, 40 days away. I don't care if you're 2 months or 3 months away, 4 months away, 6 months away, a year away. Listen, How do I get back where I need to be, preacher? Make a decision. A decision has to be made. Are you on God's side or not? This is what he said. Who is on the Lord's side? A decision had to be made. Number two, an action had to be performed. Let him come unto me. A decision that had to be made. Are you going to stay in this? Y'all got to help me, y'all. I don't understand. Are y'all getting it tonight? Or we got people sleeping and everything else? Y'all don't come to church if you got to sleep. It's okay. We won't miss you. Who's on the Lord's side? A decision. Let him come to me. An action. A separation. Is everybody with me? They had to separate themselves from what put them, what instigated, what brought them into sin. They had to separate themselves from it. Oh, stay with me. A decision that had to be made. An action that had to be performed. A separation that had to be distinguished. Is everybody with me? And then an annihilation that had to be done. Is everybody with me? An annihilation. Bible says he told them, take the swords and go and kill. You know who they killed? That group of people that come to Aaron and said, up, make us gods. If you go and you read this story, they had 1,000,000 people. God plagued the children of Israel, but only 3,000, look at it, men died. There was 3,000 men that chose to be leaders and stand up in the place of Moses and said, this is how we're going to do things. And Aaron, you're going to be the high priest and you're going to go do this. It was a 3,000 men that done that. You have to, listen, everybody look at me. You're going to have to destroy what keeps dragging you into sin. You're going to have to get rid of it, because if you don't, and 40 days later, we're going to be right back in the same boat. You got to annihilate. You have to destroy what continually brings you into sin. Whatever that is, it's different for everybody. I'm not even going to give an example. Because if I give an example and it's not yours, you're going to go home thinking that you're okay. But we all have it. Come on now, help me. We all got it. So we see their incredulousness. We see their iniquity. We see their instructions. And then lastly, we see their interceder. We see their interceder. I want you to notice with me, if you will, his burden. If we can, just for a few moments. It says this. Moses, go to verse number 31, if you will, Miss Carrie. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Now look at verse number 32, and y'all stay with me right here. Yet now, if thou wilt, forgive their sin. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. His burden. His burden. He said, God, if you will, forgive them. But if you won't, if you can't forgive the people, I'll stand in their place. Man, I don't know about you, but you and I have the best God in the world. I need somebody to help me right here. Say, but he's the only God in the world. Yeah, until 40 days from now when you got a little G out there. That's got you out of church, got a little G out there. It's got you on sitting on the sidelines looking through a fence at some little boy play a ball game. Everybody stay with me. Them little G's, they sneak up on you. But you and I serve a redeemer. We serve a deliverer that has, I'm talking about he's good to us. Moses said, hey, God forgive them, but if you won't, take me. You and I, 2,000 years ago, God sent his only begotten son. He said, God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Take me. I'll go. I'll go in their place. Oh, amen. Lord, help. If you don't turn back to God for any other reason, we ought to turn back to God because he took our place. Man, the grace of God. We sang Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. We can't even understand grace. God should have killed them all. Matter of fact, God wanted to kill them all. He told Moses, he said, if you go and read chapter number 32, he told Moses, leave me alone so my wrath can wax hot and I can get rid of these people. And he says, and I'll make a great nation out of you, Moses. Now, for most Baptists, that would have been the key right there. Oh, praise God. And I'll be exalted like Abraham. Kill them, God. It's all good. But not Moses, that great interceder. He said, God, please don't do this. If you do this, God, all the nations are going to say, you just delivered them into the desert so that you could kill them. And then he comes back after seeing what gross sin they'd come into. And he said, God, I know a payment has to be paid. I know something has to die. I know blood has to be shed because of your word and because of your law. And I'm offering myself in the stead of them. Woo. Exactly what Jesus did for you and I. A burden. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I seen his bartering. Take me. Done preached on that, so I'll move on to his blessings. He stood in the gap for him. God said, you can take these people, Moses, but I'm not going with them. And Moses said, if you're not going to go with us, God, then don't take us up thence. And because of an interceder, God is present with his people. I need somebody to help me right here. Jesus said, I'm going to go. And if I go, I'll not leave you alone. I'll send a comforter. I'll send one that'll be with you. And God said it like this. I'll go before you and make the crooked path straight. Y'all ain't getting it, but you will. Sometime tonight you're going to be sitting there and you're going to realize the blessings of God on your life because an interceder stepped in and took your place. He sent a comforter, the Holy Spirit, to live and dwell inside of you, to lead you and to guide you. And tonight, listen, no matter how mad you are at me right now, you know I'm telling the truth. You and I have gotten away from God. If they can get away from God in 40 days, you and I know, every single person in this building knows that we can get away from God too. And if we got real honest, every one of us would have to say, God, I've wandered and got away from you. Right now. God, I'm not where I need to be with you. God, right now, I'm doing things I ain't got no business doing. Amen. God, right now, I am not ready for revival because there's things in between you and I. So what do? Make a decision. Who's on the Lord's side? Can't just be up here. Got to be in action. Come. Come on, come on, come on to me. That's what Moses said. Come on. Come on. Can't just be about a decision. Come on. Gotta be in action. Separation. God, I'm gonna distance myself from the things that bring me into sin. God, I'm going to annihilate that sin that does so easily beset me. That one that I continually fall back into because of unbelief. Maybe that's your sin tonight, is unbelief. Heads bowed with me. not beating you up tonight. I'm telling you, we're all in that boat. If they can be that far away from God in 40 days, then everybody, this preacher included, I got things I need to deal with as well as you do. I'm not beating you up, not preaching down to you. I'm preaching with you. Can we really say, God, we're ready for revival? God, we're ready to hear from you. God, revive us again if we're so far away. I wonder if somebody be honest with me tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody moving around. If you're on the altars, please stay. But tonight, listen, I need everybody listening. Revival is reviving something that was alive and is dead. But if you ain't never been alive, there is no revival. So tonight, the question to you is this. Do you know that you're saved? If you died right now, do you know you'd spend eternity in heaven? If you can't answer that with, yes, sir, I know, then I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look up at me or raise your hand. Preacher, I do not know that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I do not know. Is there anybody? Thank you. Is there anybody? Be honest. I thank you for being honest. Anybody else? Preacher, I do not know. That's all I'm asking you. I'm asking you, hey, listen, you want to experience the things of God, you're going to have to know Him. I see that hand. You can put it down. Now, let me ask you this question. If you raised your hand, why not get this thing settled tonight? If you let me do that, if you'll allow that to happen, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to get up out of your seat and come down to the front. I got somebody to take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Show you from God's Word how to be saved. But once again, it's a decision. That requires an action. Choose today. Are you on the Lord's side? You need to be saved today. I want you to come forward. Let me help you. Is there anybody like that? Preacher, I'm not saved. I need to be saved. You come down front. Let us help you. Is there anybody like that? All right, thank you. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you, Lord, for a good night. Lord, I pray you get a hold of our hearts. Lord, change us. Lord, I know how far we can get as Christians, how far we can get. Lord, we can go from loving you and serving you to a complete surrender to you, and in just 40 days, God, we're right back in the pigsty. Just as the prodigal. Lord, I pray that we come to ourselves, come to our senses, come back to you, come back to the Father. God, knowing, Lord, that you will receive us, not because of who we are, but because of our interceder, the one that took our place, the one that was burdened for us, one that showered blessings upon us. Lord, thank you for our interceder, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd revive us again. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins. Revive us. God, may we honor you, Lord, with our lives. Bring honor and glory in everything that we do. Lord, to you. Lord, may you revive us through our revival.